When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Tuesday. You know what that means? Oh, that's right. It means it's friggin' Elliot. Friggin' Elliot Shore Parks for the whole hour. Elliot, how are you feeling?
Everyone's favorite favorite time of the week.
Oh, come
yeah.
On.
I always get more Tuesdays with Elliot talk when I'm out in the wild. Than,
do you?
Yeah, all
what do
the
they
time.
Say?
Yeah.
Boy, that show's so good. You
yeah.
should.
We're they
so
say,
happy when
we
you're
wish
on
you
it.
Would stay for the top five at five.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
they always say, "Wow, you sound so much more energized when you go on their show than the morning show."
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not 7:30 in the morning. So
Elliot is brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or the nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. We'll find out all about Elliot's Los Angeles vacation a little bit
work trip
later on.
Work trip.
Well,
yeah.
Vacation.
Easy.
Work trip.
Easy.
Vacation.
Happy to partner with fans of Philly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I respect our partners here.
Yeah. Well, oh, I respect our partners.
Oh, I know you do.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're also there. They're not working. You're supposed to be working.
Well, you know
fans
what?
Of Philly is not working?
Well, you know
having,
what?
The fans are having a good time. Are they not having a good time?
The fans, but
I know he,
yes,
yeah.
Joe
yeah,
is
I'm
working.
I'm talking about him.
But I think okay. Jack's right. It doesn't feel like work because it's just awesome to hang out with all the fans.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Would you give Nick Sirianni a contract extension right now? Why or why not?
So it's an interesting question, and I don't think it's as clear a yes as maybe you think I'm going to say. My only hesitation would be I don't want, like, Nick can't become a distraction again. And if they give Nick the extension, like, today or what, it's going to become a big discussion of why'd they do this, and then if they lose, like, so I think there is some downside. But ultimately, the reason I would do it is because I think he should be the coach next year. And if they lose the first playoff game and, you know, whatever, I don't want there to be any question about it. And then, you know, you can't have him go into next year as a lame duck, right? Like, you can't have him on 1 year after this. So the benefit
sure
of giving...
Sure you can.
I don't think you can. I wouldn't
not?
Do it. Because then the whole year, the question is, like, are you going to... is he going to be back the following year? He has no power because he's a one... Like, he already gets called a puppet. So I just wouldn't have him go
which
back on a 1 year. Which I agree is not. But a lot of the coach contract stuff is PR anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't count against a salary cap. It's Jeffrey Lurie's money. Like, he can fire him whenever. So a lot of this is mostly what's the benefit of doing it when you do it and what PR you get out of it. I think the benefit of doing it now is it squashes any debate that he might not be back next year. And I think Nick has earned the right to be back next year. Barring, like, again.
Even if they don't win a playoff game.
Even if they don't win a playoff game. Now, if they collapse, that's different. Like, but here's the thing. I don't think they're going
to. But if they don't win a playoff game, that's a collapse.
I'm not worrying about them collapsing.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just worrying about whether or not they show up in the playoffs playing their best football, or have they used it all up in the regular season. We get to that first playoff game, and A, we don't win it. B, he has questionable decisions in the game.
Yeah, but I just – so, first of all, let's say they go – what are they now, 9-2?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they – 6 more games. I don't know, 12 games they win, whatever. It's like a normal ending of the season.
Yeah.
And they lose one game, I'm not letting one game dictate next year's decision because Nick has a track record of winning every single year. And I also think his coaching last year actually looks a lot better in retrospect now when you see what's happening with San Francisco. Like, we can pretty much point to the one time in Nick's career where they've struggled as because they came off the Super Bowl. Like, that's it. We can talk about other things, this, that, whatever. Look at San Francisco. They're struggling as well. It's hard to come off losing the Super Bowl. The fact that they went 10-1 and made the playoffs is actually like an impressive job in some ways. So over Nick's,
unless you actually went through the season and saw it all,
it wasn't fun. I agree, but
it wasn't impressive either.
But the wins are the wins, and so if, what you see is yeah. that ultimately
I knew he'd push me to the other side.
Well, I mean, well, I'm yeah. curious what you disagree with. Like, yeah. ten wins are still 10 wins. The Niners would probably kill to get to 10 wins right now. What are they, 5-6? They'd have to finish 5-1.
So you don't believe it? You don't believe that the Eagles front office should take any of the postseason into consideration and whether or not he stays here.
I think it should be in consideration, but I just don't envision a world where the postseason loss is bad enough where I would change my mind. So if I'm Jeffrey Lurie today and I'm sitting here and saying, okay, what's the downside of giving him the contract? Mm-hmm. The downside is I shell out $20 million or 30, whatever it would be, and then it's a disaster in the playoffs. I got to fire him and that money's gone. Like, that is one downside. But the positive is you end the debate now. Like, Nick for the past 3 months has had to deal with, is he a good coach? He's not. Will he be back? And I think that ends that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I largely agree with that. And I
are you choking up in there, Elliot, thinking about Nick?
I'm trying to hear what it is. Yeah, exactly.
First of all, the San Francisco thing is a little more complicated than I think you're making it out to be, in that them missing Christian McCaffrey for 10 games.
Yeah.
Like that plays into it.
It does.
But losing Brandon Ayuk in the second week of the season plays into it. Losing, what's his name?
Which one?
Player.
Nick Bosa?
Greenlaw?
Did they lose Hargrave?
Hargrave's been out for a while.
Yeah. Hargrave the first week of the season, I think.
And Drake Greenlaw.
That's part of it. But coming up, like, when you play a Super Bowl season, like, you deal with injuries next year. And you're right, there's an extreme level of injuries. But regardless, like, everyone would agree Kyle Shanahan's a good head coach, right?
Sure.
So clearly the team's not that good this year. So
I guess what I'm not taking last year. Look, I want to give him the extension, mostly because I think it's sort of a different way of what you're saying and taking the question away. I don't want him thinking about it in the playoffs. I don't want him trying to prove his value. I don't want him thinking, if I lose this game, I don't have my job. I don't think you usually get the best out of people in that way. I think you get the most selfish version of people in that way. I don't think you get the best people.
I wish I would have knew this when you were my boss.
But I do. Yeah. I do think, well, unfortunately, I don't make all of that. I didn't make all of the decisions.
That's what you often said.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, you know, I know what I'm doing. But the other thing is, I'm not going to say last year that the collapse was just throw your hands in the air and say, well, it was the year after they lost the Super Bowl, so that's what happens. Last year was pretty ugly.
Last year was very ugly. I agree. It was terrible to go through. Even when they were 10-1, it didn't look great. I agree with all that. But the totality of Nick's time here has shown that that is the anomaly, and it's easy to explain away the anomaly. They were coming off the Super Bowl. If they had collapsed multiple years, then you could go, okay, this is a problem. If they had prolonged stretches of going like 2-4, and then they would win a few, and then they go 2-4 again, or 2-5, then yeah. But outside of the end of last year, all they've done is win, like, huge stretches of games. They've won, what, 7 in a row now. Mm-hmm. In 2023, while it was ugly, they did start 10-1. The year before, they won 14 games. Like, they have, and even 2021, they ended that year on, like, winning, what, 8-9 or 7-8 or something like that. So the end of last year is the anomaly, and that would be the hesitation from people. Well, they collapsed last year. Like, oh, I don't know if I'd want... There's an easy reason to explain why it happened last year, and it was the Super Bowl. So it doesn't worry me.
That's actually a convenient excuse.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's reality. I don't think
it's reality. Yeah. I think that's part of it, but I still think it's a convenient excuse to just throw your hands up at everything else that went on inside the building or what have you and say, well, they went to the Super Bowl, so this happens to everybody. Right? Like, that's not fair. What usually happens is that team has a tough time getting back. It could be because they've lost key free agents. Mm-hmm. They had a long season that year. And so the wear and tear of the season before sort of impacts you. Although I never understood how the wear and tear of getting to the Super Bowl one year affects the losing team. But the team that won the Super Bowl, they can get back there with no
problem.
Right,
or even playing two more games. But you know what I think it is? And I could definitely be wrong because we're just psychoanalyzing here. I do think when you lose the Super Bowl, the next year the weight of that loss really gets to you when you realize maybe you're not just going to go back. You know, so I think at the end of last year when they got smoked by the Niners and like embarrassed in Dallas, I think maybe it sets in like, hey, maybe this Super Bowl we thought we were just going to walk back to, because that was the feeling in the locker room in Arizona when they lost. Of course, they were upset and sad, but the feeling I got was, hey, we're really good, and we're gonna be here next year. And it kind of softens the blow of the loss then. I agree with the physical part of it, but I think the emotional part of coming off the Super Bowl is what makes it really hard on the losing team as opposed to the winning team.
Yeah, I just don't think – I think the optics would not look good if they were to do it now. I think they are correct in worrying about doing it this early and having so much football left to be played that – you would almost have to answer for if things don't go well. I don't know if they want him back next year. I think they like Nick. I think they do. He's not irreplaceable, right? I don't believe he's irreplaceable. They have a great roster. There'd be a lot of coaches that would be lined up to want to coach this football team with this roster.
I think
players.
It's a top five job in the NFL. So I mean, yeah.
So if you're the Eagles, they have options. It's not as if, okay, we can't get rid of Nick Sirianni because who could do this job? Like, that's not the question. If I'm the Eagles, now, they may ultimately do what we all think they're going to do, which is give him an extension.
Yeah, they'll just do it this offseason.
Yes,
yeah.
It's just a matter of when they're going to do it. And I think it's prudent and it's actually smart to wait to do it because it lessens the pressure of them. As long as this team at least gets to the playoffs and do what they're supposed to do, they can justify at the end of the season saying, listen, look at his record. We've been in the postseason four straight years. Look what he did. We're close. We're not about to change up.
Like if they lose in Detroit, it's very easy to explain why you're extending that.
Yes.
Okay, so I think the best argument against it is not creating another Nick storyline right
yes.
now.
Right.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But think about this. Let's say they lose in the first round, but it is a loss to Green Bay. They lose 34-30. Jalen throws an interception at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's a regular game.
Regular game. Can you imagine? Then they have to extend. They don't have to. But if they want to extend him after a disappointing playoffs, you're this cycle that you're trying to avoid now.
Happens then.
And that's why, ultimately, I would do it now. Because I would rather deal with, like, the backlash now will just be, if, let's say they announce today we're giving an extension, then they lose to Baltimore, and he goes for on a fourth down, and right? Then it's like, what have you done? Like, becomes a big thing again. I think, though, that storm is smaller than the storm of they lose in the first round, he has, you know, no playoff losses and wins in three of his seasons, and then you extend him.
Yeah.
Right.
215-592-9494. Would you extend Nick Sirianni right now? Friday, by the way, coming up, Black Friday, which you know is stressful at a lot of places, but not a Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. They want to make the Black Friday experience easier on you. You shop smarter, not harder, at Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. John Ashdale, the car czar, is there. The staff at Colonial is ready. Starting 7 a.m. on Friday, you can save up to $12,000 on any new Hyundai in stock. And you drive home with a $500 gift card with your purchase at Colonial during the Black Friday sales event. No hassle, no stress. Over 200 vehicles in stock. Save up to $12,000. Get the $500 gift card. That is all Friday, the Black Friday sales event at Colonial. And remember, Colonial is going to give you more for your trade than anyone else. Are guaranteed $6,500 no matter what condition it's in. So make Black Friday easy. Go to Colonial, save $12,000, get the $500 gift card up to $12,000. Shop online 24/7 ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, men and ISP.
What up, Chris?
What up, Chris?
Guys, there's no way in hell you extend Nick Sirianni right now.
Why?
Can we please focus here? We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, not the dumpster fire 76ers, okay? He's 2-3 in the playoffs. His wins are over Daniel Jones and Josh Johnson. You do not sign that guy right now. There's no way you do this. Guys, listen, ISP, the Eagles don't throw parades for loser mentality, you know, that celebrate being a good regular season record like the Sixers and Cowboys.
Well, it's harder to win in the regular season than the NFL, for what it's worth. But you're also diminishing going to the Super Bowl. I agree. It was not the toughest path, for sure. I agree with that. But they still went to the Super Bowl. And I just ultimately think if Nick's your head coach, you know every year you'll be in the playoffs. That's like what his track record has proven. It is. He's 3-3.
We want winners here.
Nick is a winner. In fact, actually, I don't know if you heard this stat, Chris, but I'll share it. Nick has the highest winning percentage among all top of NFL head coaches. Number one. And if you look all time, he's sixth.
And not nonsense, not rhetoric, not spin.
It's not spin, it's a stat.
And winning. He's two. Yeah, facts are two. He's 2-3. He hasn't beaten anybody that's good. He had one of the most talented teams, and he beat two subpar teams on their way to the
He demolished those teams.
The facts are he lost last year to Baker Mayfield in the playoffs. The facts are he hasn't beaten anybody good in his coaching career. So we're saying we're not doing that until he actually beats somebody good, and we see.
You mean in the playoffs he hasn't beat anybody good is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Like, you know this.
Why? Well, you know said he hasn't beat anybody
also,
good.
Also, I think the Baker loss, like the Bucks are good.
I know ISP likes to throw parades for like MVPs.
Well, I bet you wish you hung that and beat MVP banner now because.
Yeah. Well. Hold on, though, Chris.
No more banners going up.
It's amazing what everybody conveniently talks about the year they went to the Super Bowl. Is like when I say they only beat the Giants and the 49ers on their fourth quarterback or whatever, everybody's like, they went to the Super Bowl, they went to the Super Bowl, they went to the Super Bowl. But now when I'm talking about extending Sirianni, it's like, he hasn't even beat anybody in the playoffs. I mean, is that the way that you felt when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl? That this is easy. They didn't even beat anybody. Is that how you felt that year?
That year I was way overconfident, like most of us, because we were rolling and we were.
Why do you think they were rolling?
The fact that we were thumping those teams was we were caught up in the ride, okay? And we did have a very good, talented team, which was why we were winning. It's not because Nick Sirianni was out coaching anybody, and not to say.
Well, but that's just not true, Chris.
That's not why we were winning. So we don't reward that guy with the contract until he proves that he could do it in the playoffs when it's a legit, hey, you're up against a real team, a real coach, a real quarterback, and you actually have to win a game. And that's what we're saying here. That's all that my point is, and the rest of the same people out there are saying, look, until the guy proves that he's able to do it at a championship level like Andy was able to do, even though
Andy never won a Super Bowl here.
Playoffs, that's not what I said. So listen.
I am listening. You said a championship
nerves,
level.
Okay, take the worm out. I know it's wet stender.
Right.
It's a little difficult.
Right.
So what we're saying is he's got to prove himself that he's able to take that next level. Because, again, I'm just repeating myself at this point. We're not the Cowboys here. We don't care about being a good regular season.
No, what the Cowboys do, hold on, Chris, what the Cowboys do is not extend people until they're pissed off and then have a bad season when they wait too long to extend everybody.
In the playoffs, so it doesn't matter what they do, other than back in the 1990s, right. Spike, when you and I actually were teenagers. Okay, so it's been that long. So, guys, that's where I'm at with this. I don't want to hear Nick. When Nick proves himself in the playoffs, then we could talk about this. But until now, you guys said all the right things. There is no reason to extend him. He's got another year on his deal. His money, it's not like, oh, well, we sign him early to save against the cap. It's totally different for the head coaches. So there's no point in it. And for an ownership that had to sit there and take a pause at the end of last year to decide whether or not they even wanted to bring him back and give us some nonsense about the weather was the reason why, they're telling you the same thing. They're saying, hey, he's doing great. We'll see. So I really think that that's where we're at. I'm right with them. We'll see.
All right, Chris. Thank you.
You know what I'm surprised about? So obviously, Ike has his reasons. He might not do it now, but yours are more cautionary than a question about Nick.
Yeah,
I would say, right?
Yeah.
I'm just surprised how many people still don't think Nick's a good head coach.
And
you're surprised at that?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Oh no.
I mean, I don't know what else he has to do. They just won 7 straight games. Every game we say is a trap game. They go out and they show up every week, right? They went into Cincinnati. They beat the Bengals handedly, right? The Rams game I thought was a trap game. They dominated that game. So if people are just stuck in their ways with Nick and still don't think he's a good head coach, then I get why you wouldn't want to extend him, because you probably wouldn't want to be the head coach. But I'm just surprised that after everything he's accomplished, again, number one winning record among all Active F coaches, it just floors me people still won't admit he's a good coach.
I'm with you on that. I'm just not surprised by it.
Yeah.
And the difficult thing with his role is that there is nothing, and we've talked about this before, which is why it's easy to blame him and hard to give him credit, especially if you don't like him.
Right.
Is that there's nothing you can assign to it, to him, aside from them winning games.
Mm-hmm.
And the winning games thing, even though it's the point of everything, feels empty in an argument, which is why I think that people are just waiting and seeing.
So I agree that the assigning things is difficult, but this year, Jalen turned it around once they started running the ball more. And so I know people will pin that on the offensive lineman for going in and talking to Nick. But it is exactly what they did in 2021 when they shifted to a run-first approach and it turned the season around for Jalen. So obviously that's Nick.
No, and I give him credit for listening to his offensive line as well. And by the way, going to Kellen Moore, who I'm sure doesn't want to run the ball 45 times a game.
Certainly not in the early downs.
No, well, even in general. I mean, it doesn't show off anything.
Yeah, it doesn't make him... Yeah, no, you're right.
You know, it doesn't show what he's got.
It's not getting him a head coach shot.
We haven't brought this up yet. So Adam Schefter reported today that Shaq Barrett, who last played for the Bucks, I believe.
Yeah, played for the Bucks last year.
Played for the Bucks has already said he was retiring in July, but has applied to be reinstated to play. Now, does he have to clear waivers? Is that what it has to say? Because he signed a contract with Miami, yes?
I believe, so he is under contract with Miami. So if he were to be reinstated, he would have to be released in order to then be signed. I believe that is how it works. Now,
okay.
I know of... Yeah, I guess in season, actually, you go through waivers no matter what, because Daniel Jones did.
So, after they release him, he would have to go through waivers.
Correct. It's not like a training camp where you're a vested veteran, you don't do it. But I believe he will go through waivers.
Would you guys consider, if they granted his release and put him on waivers, do you think the Eagles should take a shot, and do you think they would take a shot?
I certainly would bring him in to see if he's in shape and see what he could potentially provide in sort of a sub package or sub row. The one thing about playing defensive line, that's one of the easier positions to sort of just step right into. We saw what Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph did when they were sitting on the sidelines all year.
Yep.
And the Eagles put them in the first week. They signed on a Tuesday. They were playing
like
that Sunday.
Like 15 plus snaps too. Yeah, like they were out there. Yeah.
So that's one. Yeah, I mean, they are, and I know Nick talked about having faith in the young guys, but it's a different role that's being asked to be played, and it's getting late in the year, and you're going to be playing tougher games, and you need experienced guys out there who's been in the moment, who understands the moment. So I certainly would want a veteran player. And a guy like Shaq Barrett, I mean, he's the world champion. He's been on the Super Bowl team. You know he can get after the quarterback. It's kind of ironic. He's kind of built like Brandon a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of built like Brandon.
I think he wore 55, too.
58.
Better number.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Just saying.
He can't have 58 here.
He can't have 58.
Jalen says 58.
Well, he damn sure ain't getting 55.
He's
either,
not getting 55. So. Yeah. I don't think anyone's getting 55 again.
Yeah.
But
does anybody wear 56?
Steen. I think Steen wears 56.
Oh, he wears 56.
He does.
I was surprised. When I looked at Shaq Barrett's numbers for last year, they were really good. Like, I thought it would be, okay, he's probably retired. I'm just saying, he had 56 hits, sacks, and hurries last year. That was, like, top 25 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So he was signed by the Dolphins. I don't think he retired because he can't play anymore. He retired at the time he cited because he wanted to spend more time with his family. And
He didn't like his contract.
Well, maybe. But I'm saying his numbers last year were very good.
Well, so were the other. Ike mentioned this before the show. We signed another linebacker who was on Tampa who had good numbers last year.
And he can play. They are the ones that made the mistake not putting him out there.
Devin White?
Talking about Devin White,
saying Devin White can play.
Wow.
Zach Bond and Nakobe have been awesome. They were right about that. But I don't think we can say Devin White can't play. He never played
Shut
here.
Shut his hole!
He never played here.
Well, you don't trust Fangio in that respect, saying, hey, this guy's not going to play.
Look, Fangio's been awesome, but I'm saying I think if you put Devin White on this defense, he would play well.
More impressive coaching job this year, Sirianni or Fangio?
Well, Sirianni, I mean, he hired Fangio. So.
Yeah.
Well, all right. At least we got a smirk there. Coming up
but
next,
I would sign Shaq Barrett.
If he were available to be signed. Yeah.
I'm signing damn near anybody that's on the street right now.
Yeah.
Well, also looking back at the friggin' trade deadline, maybe.
Well, you might have had a point.
Well, especially with Bryce out, too.
Yes. Well, also, forgetting about Bryce out, at the time.
It's addition by subtraction.
Yeah. Elliot thinks all the bad players are also good.
He's been my thing for all my time.
I think just looking back at the deadline, the only thing that you should have, at least they should have considered, is that not that Brandon wasn't playing well, is that he was 36 and not playing well.
Yep.
And playing more than they planned on. And, you know, injuries happen, but Who knows?
Knew that was more likely to happen if he kept playing at the pace he was playing.
All right, 215-592-9494, and we will play you the audio next of John Ritchie bullying Brandon Graham on the morning show today.
I've not heard this.
Bullying. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks with us, as he is every Tuesday at 3 for Tuesdays with Elliot. So what do you guys want first? This is up to you guys.
All right.
Do you want John Ritchie bullying Brandon Graham on the morning show today, or do you want to debate with OG Wade about Nick Sirianni's contract extension?
Ooh.
What's first? We'll do both. I want to know which one you want.
So you tell me
first.
I have to pick OG or BG?
Yes, first.
Right. I think I got to go OG.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. 215-592-9494. OG Wade here on WIP.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What up, OG?
Great to see you yesterday, OG. You're looking great.
OG.
Yeah, okay.
It's about to be a good one.
No, I had to throw that one at him because he always hit me with that. I had to get Spike. Yeah, that's my boy, though.
All right, too,
Ike, Spike. It was good seeing you, man.
All right.
Listen.
Didn't I look good? I just go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know that one. I ain't
all
playing
right,
that. That's the balls. That's the big balls there.
All right.
Yeah. But listen, I think that Nick is deserving of the contract. But I don't want to interfere with his messaging to the team. Right now, Nick has got these guys to buy in and to back him because of all the criticism that he was taking. So everything now is about not being satisfied. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it would be a good look for the organization to give him a contract right now in this situation because it will satisfy him in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that would be a good move. But I also want people to understand that the Eagles don't do things off of pressure of us or the media or anything. They know what they got in Nick. They know what they got in Nick Sirianni. They created – well, they're not created him, but they hired him as a young coach. He's their thing. You know what I'm saying? Just like Jalen is their thing. They don't bother with what we're saying. Jeffrey Lurie knows that there's no one voice in that building that make any decisions. They do everything as a team. You know what I'm saying? And their drafts, the decisions they make. Nick Sirianni would have been fired if it was about him making poor decisions. But Jeffrey Lurie knows that they don't make decisions just by Nick Sirianni. It's a collective thing. They come together and they agree on it, and that's the decision that is put out. You know what I'm saying? But only one person can voice it, obviously.
So I agree with you. I agree with you on that. And that's actually why I think, like, Nick is in some ways uniquely qualified for this job. Like, if the Eagles' job was available this offseason, they could probably get the top candidate, like a Ben Johnson, whoever you think the top guy would be.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
What is that?
It's Bill Belichick.
Well, they would never hire Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
and that would be a disaster of a hire.
No.
I would be.
One loss in the playoffs. We're getting Bill.
Yeah, that I really hope not. But regardless, like, I think Nick is uniquely qualified to work in this organization. Like, he works well with Howie. He listens to others. Like, he's good at culture building. Like, those are things the Eagles value. Ben Johnson might be a better X's and O's guy, but we've seen good X's and O's guys come in here and not ultimately be able to continue to work there. So I think what they have in Nick is set up well where you don't want to let that go.
Let me also say this. The Eagles, the way they structure things is unique. You know what I'm saying? And I like the way that they do things. But we got to understand that I heard the guy, the idiot Chris, call up here and say that that Nick's not a good coach because he hasn't beaten anybody. Well, first of all, when you lose to when you beat teams, they say, oh, it's because of his roster. When you're not a successful coach, oh, he doesn't have the players, i.e. Brian Daboll in New York. Which is it? You know what I'm saying? It can't be, but you know what I'm saying? It's got to be, if the guy is producing wins, victories, or whatever, then give him the credit for it.
Well, and he also turned Jalen into the quarterback, yes.
Well, I don't agree with that one, but...
Well, Jalen was a wildcat. Jalen was a wildcat backup when Nick got the job.
Understand something, Snoopy. Understand something, okay? Jalen is a coach.
I mean, Nick Saban wasn't able to fix Jalen.
Listen, Jalen has pedigree.
Well, he sees talent.
Okay,
Nick made Jalen into a talented quarterback.
Hey, yo, dude, would you let
me... I'm reacting. Go ahead.
OG likes to do a monologue.
Yeah, my bad. I'm
sorry. Maybe you're allowed to talk at the end.
Let me just say this. When you're talking about a player of Jalen's ilk, you know what I'm saying? Right. He was more successful way before Nick Sirianni even thought about coaching. You know what I'm saying?
Huh?
So you
what
can't
does that mean?
Say he's the... That what that means is that he's been playing that position and winning games before Nick Sirianni was a coach. That's what that means.
That's not true. He was coaching at IUP or whatever.
And you worry about
developing talent there.
Yeah.
And you know what? You guys, I'd rather be down there so I can just slap the
Well, OG, you have to give Sirianni some credit for Jalen's success. He's the head coach.
And the credit that I give him is that they're partners. You know what I'm saying? He's his head coach. Jalen is the starting quarterback.
Right. But he built an offense that Jalen could be successful.
Why someone is something, you're taking away the hard work that the player actually
no one's
has.
No
one's doing that.
No one's doing that. No one's doing that.
Straw man Wade.
And don't say that a coach made this player what he is. No, you don't make
I'm saying
player.
He developed the player.
Some credit
does,
for it, though,
does
right?
Does Vic Fangio get credit for Quinyon Mitchell?
I didn't say that. It was the wording that he used.
Okay.
He said he's the reason. No, he's not the reason. Jalen will be a successful quarterback, rather Nick Sirianni's the coach or whoever the damn coach is. That's how he works. He works hard on his skill set. That's what you got to do to be successful and become great. You just got to put the work in, and it comes over time.
And that matters, I agree, but you also, when you're a player, need a head coach to get the best out of you, and that's what Nick has done with Jalen.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Thank you, yeah.
Okay.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, pretty decent call, OG.
We got everybody good? We happy in this?
Well, and the final thing, OG, before we get to the Brandon Graham thing.
This is where it goes off the cliff.
No, a question. What were you insinuating that One Last Breath by Creed was about, where you were telling Ike that we shouldn't play it because of the lyrics? What are you talking about?
My insinuation is this here. We run, on this program, we reach out to a lot of the listeners and everything. And I don't want people to get the wrong idea or the wrong message that going through drug addiction and not knowing what you want to do in your life, you want to jump off the damn bridge. I'm not trying to put that out on the street. If y'all want to do that in your studio.
All right, OG. The song is about facing dark times in your life and looking at the support around you, including faith, to come out of it. That's why that's what that is about. Hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge. I'm thinking maybe 6 feet isn't so far down. It is about his lowest point and how he came out of his lowest point. So here is a guy who beat those things. It's a positive thing. It's not trying to encourage people to do something bad to themselves. It's quite the opposite.
Yeah, well, whipty-do. Okay. Yeah.
He's behind. What's he do?
Wow. Yeah. He said whipty-do.
Yeah, whipty-do. All right.
Whipty-do is a good comeback when you're just...
Yeah.
That's why you should have done their most popular song.
It is their most popular.
Higher.
Look on Spotify. It's their most popular song.
All I know is when I walk around and I ask people, they say it's Higher. I've not talked to one person who said it's this song.
People are not getting Higher tattoos, but they are getting One Last
Breath
tattoos.
I don't know anyone that's getting One Last Breath tattoos.
Get on TikTok.
Yeah. Well, they send it to all of us, Elliot.
Yes. Oh, okay, that's true. You guys do probably get more Creed tweets than anything else right now.
All right. So we will get you this audio of John Ritchie bullying Brandon Graham on this morning's WIP Morning
Poor
Show.
Poor Ritchie.
Right after Jack tells you about the Black Friday sale at National Appliance Warehouse.
Again, write down on 202.
Or 95.
Or 95.
Or however you get to Delaware.
Exactly.
Yes.
Tax-free Delaware is probably
or Route 1 or any of the number of different ways that you can get there.
Either way, all roads lead to National Appliance Warehouse. If you're dreaming of a new kitchen that's innovative with dynamic aesthetics that'll blow you away, you gotta get to National Appliance Warehouse and explore Gen Air. Only Gen Air combines rebellious luxury with quality and design. These are high-performance, sophisticated appliances for people who love technology and visual appeal. Gen Air's refrigerators feature a daring obsidian interior, stylish black finish that enhances the look of everything inside. Choose from two distinct expressions throughout the Gen Air product offering. Rise features a bold professional look while Noair is sleek and contemporary. Gen Air's dishwashers also offer the quietest technology available. I'm obviously impressed with Gen Air, and you have to trust National Appliance Warehouse's knowledgeable team to guide you through selecting the perfect appliance for you. Always at the best price, thanks to Price Assure. It's Black Friday all month long. Right now, instantly save 15% when you package four Gen Air appliances together. See store for details. Visit nationalappliancewarehouse.com or their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
Okay, so we're going to play this audio, and I've not even heard it yet. Mm-hmm. I like giving my first response reaction to it.
I like when you guys do that too, because then I get to hear it. You know, I don't think you're... Yeah.
Yes, so...
I guess this is all of us here today.
Yeah, so
for the first time.
I've heard it.
So Brandon Graham did the Brandon Graham show last night.
I thought he gave
some great sort of positive thoughts mm-hmm. about his career, about the injury, so on and so forth. But then on Tuesday mornings, he's in with the WIP morning show. And it seems like the morning show bullied him into crying because they're criers on the air. So
here have they cried on the air?
Well, what's that?
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
And Spike would never make BG cry on the Brandon Graham show. You don't want to force him into doing it.
No, absolutely not. All right.
So. And now he's hell against his will on the morning show.
All right. Here it is.
Even with all the stuff you've done, even with a game that I've had, it's just still that burning love of
And doubt can creep in. Doubt can creep in when you don't have the redemption of going out there every Sunday and just letting loose. That's the gift. That's the joy. And when you're deprived of that part, I doubted myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want you to doubt yourself. But enough about me. We hear you talk about this injury, and you're saying you've been having problems for a while now, that you were having tendonitis in this elbow.
Uh-huh.
How long were you in pain, and how hard was it to play with the elbow before this final injury?
Well, you know what? Hold on. I'm trying to keep it in. Man.
I'm sorry.
Take a moment. Cool. Take a moment, cool, Brandon. Man. Take a moment, man.
Hey, and I know I needed it, but boy, I just love what we've been building, and I just don't want to. I know I ain't letting nobody down as far as getting hurt and stuff, because I know I'm gonna bring that energy.
Brandon, let me jump in for 1 second. You're not letting anybody down. You're not letting the city down. Your teammates.
I know. I'm just
nobody.
Saying, like,
cross your mind.
I got you. Because I promise you. I'm just more hurt of just on how we've been coming every week, trying to defy, the odds and being with it. But being with them, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be with them. I'm still with them. You know what I'm saying? I know that. But, yeah, man, I just needed this right here. I needed to get this out. It's been a while since I cried, man. I'm just, hurting a little bit because, man, I just would, for the 15 years, I've been here and people doubt me. This was a big one for me, and I think I accomplished a lot this year. And, just one little thing, but I know it's God's plan, man, and I'm trusting that. And so that's where I'm at. And but I needed this, man. I needed this in a big way.
I actually take it back. They didn't bully him. They actually threw him a life raft in the middle of it.
I'm curious where you were going with that.
No. They did a good job. In fact, I know this makes me sound like heartless. I'd have been like, when they were like, "Nah, don't worry about it," I would have been like, "Meh."
Yeah,
like
right.
let the moment happen. Yeah,
yeah.
But no, they didn't bully him into it. And for Brandon, I think the thing that keeps hitting him, which he keeps repeating, mm-hmm. is that it's one thing. He's actually putting the fact that it could be the end of his career, I think, is second. He was really he seems like he really likes this team, really likes the defense, and was really enjoying playing, especially the game on Sunday night. He just looked like he was having such a good time, and I think that is what is disappointing him, that he really feels something with this team, and he's not able to be that part of it anymore.
Yeah, it could be difficult for a player, and I can only imagine, Brandon been in his 15th season and what was potentially and still could be his final season, to be a part of something like this. where it was a little rough in the beginning. And you know, Brandon is always about uplifting and being positive, even when people don't want to hear it. When everybody out here is yelling and screaming and upset, fire the coach, this guy stinks. You know, Brandon always brings positive energy and is always trying to speak good things into existence as it pertains to this team. And he was doing the same thing when they were at 2-2, right? After the Tampa game and in the bye week, you know, he doesn't duck shows. He does his Monday night show. He comes on every Tuesday with these guys. And to sit in the face of that adversity when everybody is yelling and screaming, he listens to the station, so he hears this stuff. And to still come in and be full of energy and want to do his shows and try to, I think, try to project positive energy to try to help get things turned around. He is invested in this team. He is invested in that organization. He is an Eagle through and through. He has been through good times. He's been through bad times. He's been to the mountaintop. He's been at the bottom where he felt like he was worthless at times. I've had conversations with Brandon throughout his career, so I know it's sincere. When I talked to him last night, you could tell for 2 days he's been fighting that off. Yeah. You know, even he's been fighting off the emotion of what could be the finale of his career. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the Eagles are going to bring him back. I don't know. He'd be 37 this offseason. That's a lot for a defensive end to have to try to get back through another year. And you're trying to have this perfect ending where you're like, I get to walk off the field and held my head being held high. And a lot of that's been changed with this injury. But like I told him last night, you know, you can't be out on the field physically, but your presence can be felt around this team. And you can keep that energy alive. You know what it was like in 17 when you guys lost guys, important players, and you guys went out and won for them. So you're one of the faces of this team. You're the elder statesman on the team. These kids, they look up to you. They look to you for that energy. And I know you feed off of them. So don't change that part of it. And this is a tough time for him right now. Once he gets through the surgery and starts to rehab, he can be in a better place mentally to be able to deal with what he's dealing with right now. He has a lot of emotions going through his head right now.
And it'll give him something to aim toward, the rehab and that sort of stuff. I told him last night on the show, I was like, week four, when you told me, don't worry, you guys are going to get better and better, I was like, I didn't believe you. But you ended up being right. And thinking about the amount of time he's played, I thought about the time I first interviewed Brandon Graham. I was doing middays at WYSP, so it was at Lehigh. Mm-hmm. That puts you, I've had like six different jobs since Brandon Graham started with his one job with the Eagles, right. And he is still playing. So it gives you some context as to what he's been through. You know what I mean? So,
well, and I think another hard part to what you were saying, Ike, is just how quickly it happened. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, he knew that he was probably going to retire with whatever, but it went from on the sideline, up 20 points, this team's awesome, we're going to the Super Bowl, to like done. Like, I've seen a lot of players, unfortunately, get injured in games, right? Mm-hmm. I've never seen a sideline react to a player that's on the sideline like that. Like Jalen going up to Brandon Graham. I mean, tons of players going up to him as he walked off. Like, I do think there was just a suddenness to the finality of it that was probably hard to take in. But I also think the ultimate compliment you could probably give Brandon is, in his 15th year, him getting hurt now is like a big deal for this team. When the season started, it was, or at least when he was signed, it was maybe he'll be inactive. He's just here to be a player coach. Like, he has turned into a critical part of that defense. And so, you know, when he said that in another part of the interview, that he feels like he proved people this year he can still play. And, like, he absolutely did. And I think if there's any positive here for Brandon, it's that it wasn't a lower body injury. Like, if he would have suffered an Achilles or an ACL, like, that's probably it. The decision's made for him. A torn tricep, like, I think you can recover. You can be in good shape. And I think he could play next year. And based off this year, I think the Eagles should absolutely bring him back if he wants to come back.
Well, and the thing about it being so sudden is that for all of us, it's rare that the end of your career happens the way that you want it to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we're riding off into the sunset after a great year, they win the championship. So most... Well,
yeah, that doesn't happen for the majority.
No, and you know, most you play one more year than you should, and you find out, whether it's in camp or the middle of the year when you're getting a bunch of inactives, that you should have retired. So I think he seems like in a place where he's not I was actually sort of surprised because I thought he was going to say, oh, no, I definitely want to rehab and come back. But he was like, let's see how this goes. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a good place to be. I think he'll put everything behind mm-hmm. his rehab. But then seeing how your body feels and you know, if you feel like going through the grind again and fighting for playing time and those sorts of things, who knows what happens.
Also, I would say if the Eagles do get to the Super Bowl, I would not rule out him playing in that game.
He said no yesterday.
I'm just giving you my opinion.
Okay, he said 4 months.
Right, I know. Yeah. But it's 2 months away, that game is, right? I'm not talking about playing 20 snaps, 25 snaps. I would bet if they get there, it's just my guess, that he plays in that game.
He said, just telling you what he said, he said after surgery, which will happen, won't even happen until next week, it's 6 weeks before he can do any rehab. So it is letting. So I wouldn't put it past him.
Right.
But also, it seems like a tough putt, this particular injury. But yeah. Who knows? Especially at his age.
I remember my last game.
Yeah, you were thinking about WIP.
I was. I was thinking about a lot of things sitting on that damn heated bench over there on the sideline.
In Atlanta?
Oh, here, right in the link.
Oh, yeah.
My last game, December 31st, 2006, right there in the link.
Well, and
you knew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew.
You just didn't have it anymore.
Just didn't want to play anymore. I swear to God, I went through that game saying, don't get injured, bro. Like, yeah, don't get hurt. Like, it was a meaningless game. The Eagles, they clinched because I think the Cowboys lost to Detroit in the 1 o'clock hour. We were playing the 4 o'clock game. So, and it was supposed to be a battle between us and the Eagles still trying to figure out who gets in the playoffs or affects playoff seedings. We got eliminated.
All right, because that was 2005.
Yes, okay, we got eliminated when I think Detroit won. Or something like that, and that put the Eagles in. So the Eagles didn't even have to wind up playing their starters. They used it as somewhat of a bye week because they played the next week. That was they beat the Giants in the Jeff Garcia game.
Yep.
And I was like, man, get through this game without getting injured, man. Like, you know damn well it's over. Like, yeah, don't go out here. I did more handshaking and BSing for 3 hours during that game. I'm talking to the fans behind us.
Well, that's cool. It was in Philly.
They're yelling at every Falcon player on the bench and telling me how much they love me and come back and be an Eagle. So, yeah, that last game for me was more or less like, yeah, it's a wrap. But I knew 3 or 4 weeks ahead of that, and I was like, I don't want to hit nobody no more. And I don't want to hit. I don't want to run into a wedge anymore.
Yeah, well, I can imagine, especially that position. You know, quarterbacks are lucky. They just stand back there.
Right, yeah. You know. But I do agree with you. Like, it's been kind of striking to me how much the sadness from Brandon Graham seems much more about not being able to be involved in this season than what could be the end of his career.
End of his career. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Elliot.
Yes, sir.
Great appearances as always. Yeah.
So, time flies. We didn't even yell.
It always does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't talk Sixers either.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah. I know you want to talk about
them. I'm dying to talk about the Sixers.
Yeah.
More Sixers, please. More Sixers. Jordan Mailata will join us next. We'll ask him about BG. I also want to know if they sort of feel in the middle of the game that they're breaking the will of a defense with as much as they run and as successful as they are in the second half. So we will talk to Jordan Mailata next. By the way, you can get Elliot, if this isn't enough for you, which
never is.
How could it be?
Yes.
You can get the Go Birds podcast every single day in your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcast or the free Odyssey app. Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you.
ESP, happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving. Very grateful to be able to be on this show.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. We are grateful for you as well, even though we berate you constantly. You know it's all.
That's why I'm grateful to be on.
Yeah. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.